WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, we're still collecting stories from small business owners about your health insurance premiums. Visit our website, WNYC.org. You'll see a special page there today where we are asking how much your health insurance premiums went up this year if you are a small business owner, how that compares to recent years, and what you're doing about it. And we're going to do a follow-up, kind of an investigative report on this, next week. But if you're a small business owner, we want your story on our website. How much did your health insurance premiums go up for you and your employees this year? And what are you doing about it, if anything? How are you coping? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and our health reporter Fred Mogul is on the case with a follow-up coming next week to look at regulation of small business health insurance rates and patterns in the industry. So post your stories, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Wonder where your winter tomatoes really come from? Wonder why some college students are boycotting Taco Bell? Well, out-of-season tomatoes have long gotten a bad rap in the pages of, like, Gourmet Magazine and from foodies in general for tasting like cardboard. This month, however, an article in Gourmet Magazine finds another reason for us to wait until July for a BLT, the plight of the migrant farm workers in Immokalee, Florida, where 90% of domestic winter tomatoes are grown, and what one prosecutor calls ground zero for modern slavery. Barry Estabrook covers the politics of food as a contributing editor for Gourmet Magazine, and he joins me now. Barry, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Modern slavery. This is not people being bought and sold, but something else?
Well, it's not actually being bought and sold, but it has all the other trappings that that you'd associate with slavery of 200 years ago. You know, these people are forced to work against their will often. They are paid next to nothing, if anything. They're beaten. They are kept locked in chains or housed in very, very small dwellings.
Tell us more about Immokalee. What's the scene? Why is 90% of the winter tomato crop grown there?
Well, Florida itself, southern Florida, Immokalee's in the southern, almost very southern part of Florida, and it's the weather there, the time of year, the closeness to the markets, particularly along the eastern seaboard, have led to the rise of the tomato industry in that area.
And how widespread do you think this problem is?
Well, in the last 12 years or so, there have been seven slavery cases prosecuted in Florida, and it's involved more than 1,000 slaves. So it's frighteningly common. I mean, one instance would be horrific enough, but it's in fact quite common.
And again, you use the word slaves.
Well, that's what they are. They have, you know, they have no ability to leave. They're kept locked down and they're forced to work.
Who are the workers?
Well, they can be anybody. Anybody who's in a desperate enough situation to want to go into the tomato field or to have to go into the tomato fields to make a living. Of the seven cases I talked about, two involved groups of American citizens. The others involved migrant workers, mostly from Mexico and Guatemala and other Central American countries.
Why would the growers feel they need to go to this length or these lengths in order to maintain a tomato picking workforce?
Well, it all comes down to, getting their tomatoes harvested for the lowest possible price. That's always been the motivation. Even, tomato pickers who aren't enslaved, they make the same amount of money that they did 30 years ago. They got about 45 cents for a bushel basket. You're paid on a piece basis. 30 years ago, they get 45 cents today for the same basket. It's the pressure to keep wages as low as possible to provide us with ridiculously cheap tomatoes at a time of year when when we probably shouldn't be eating them.
By the way, I mentioned in the introduction that maybe you've seen college students boycotting Taco Bell. That boycott is over, partly as a result of the work of another guest who we're going to bring in now, one of the Immokalee farm workers and a staff member of the CIW, that's the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Gerardo Reyes Chavez joins us by phone from Florida. Gerardo, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for the invitation.
When did this coalition get started?
The coalition started organizing in 95, a little bit before that. The first big action was in 95 with a work stoppage with more than 3,000 workers here in town. This action was done again in 1997 and 1999. There was also a march against violence in the normal conditions, trying to eliminate violence from the fields. In 1996, after a worker was brutally beaten for the simple fact of stopping to drink water. So that's basically when we started, a little bit before 1995.
Your group, the CIW, targeted fast food chains, a number of them really, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and a few others, rather than individual shoppers. Why did you go that route?
What we are seeking here is a domino effect. And in order for that to happen, we need to bring the big buyers and just bring them to take responsibility, because at the end they are the ones that are getting the most profit from the conditions that were just described. We've been talking to consumers, the people who at the end of the day eat the food that it's being sold in supermarket industry and the fast food industry. Because they are at the end the ones who have the last word on this. With the workers, working with the workers, we can create a power that can change and will change the market, including on the business deals, human rights, basically.
So Taco Bell, McDonald's, Subway, and finally Burger King agreed to pay an additional penny per pound, I understand, for tomatoes.
Yeah.
That was to be passed on to the workers whose wages, as Barry was describing, hadn't gone up in these tomato fields since 1980. But I gather that money is still in escrow. Is that correct?
Yeah. When the first agreement was signed with Taco Bell and Yum Brands, which later embraced the agreement, the principles of the agreement and the penny per pound too, it was being paid to the workers in the companies that were supplying them for 2 years. Then there was a blockade that came from the part of the Florida Tomato Growers Exchange, which is a lobbying group for the farm, the agricultural industry here in Florida. They speak for them in D.C. And they decided to blockade this as soon as we got the agreement with McDonald's, because they knew that the changes we were seeking were profound changes that will transform the agricultural industry as a whole. And they didn't want that to happen, because they have been accustomed to basically do business as usual, where farm workers are not part of the industry, but rather a tool that can be thrown away once it's not useful or as useful as a person could be in a younger age. And this is something that's been going on for a lot of time. So they block the penny per pound. It is going to an escrow account, as you mentioned. But there's a lot of people, including some senators, like Senator Sanders, Senator Brown, Senator Kennedy, and Senator Durbin, that are working with us, looking for possible ways to bring the FTGE to basically get out of the way and let this penny per pound go to the workers, because they decided to basically find or threat to find their members if they participated with us in this agreement.
My guest
and
that's
where we are right now.
That's where you are right now. My guest on WNYC for another few minutes, Gerardo Reyes Chavez, who is just speaking, one of the Immokalee, Florida farm workers and a staff member of the CIW, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and Barry Estabrook, who covers the politics of food for Gourmet magazine. His article in the current issue cites the horrible conditions for many of the migrant farm workers picking most of the winter tomatoes that we get around here in the Immokalee, Florida area. One prosecutor there calls it ground zero for modern slavery. And Barry, what's the case? If a prosecutor is involved, who's charging whom with what?
Well, in the latest case, among other charges, they were charged with keeping people in what's called involuntary servitude, which is fancy legalese for slavery. And
did that case have an outcome?
Yes, it did. In December, the two main perpetrators received 12-year jail sentences, and three other family members have received lesser sentences.
Is what Gerardo was describing the latest tactic in food activism? If McDonald's demands free-range eggs from farmers, all eggs will be free-range. If McDonald's demands living wages for pickers, they'll get it. Is it that simple?
Well, I certainly think that the big buyers like this absolutely call the shots. And the one thing about food is it is an area where we consumers can vote with our dollars and vote successfully. So that's why big companies like McDonald's, like Burger King, like Taco Bell are responsive, because they know that people will vote with their food dollars.
Gerardo, are you an active picker even now, or are you full-time with the union?
It's not a union. It's an organization that, unfortunately, in most of the states of the country, farm workers and also domestic workers are excluded from that right, the right to form a union. But yeah, I'm staff of the organization. But in order to be staff, we also work in the fields. We have a cooperative, and we go to pick watermelons. That's what we're gonna do in not too far from now. We go to work in different fields also when there are some reports of abuses or when we suspect that something is going on that might have to do with forced labor or slavery.
Did you ever consider yourself a slave?
No. It happens, as we said, like there's some specific cases that have happened. And what we see is that the conditions, the everyday conditions, are ground zero for slavery to flourish. And that's why this campaign for fair food is so important, because if we are able to bring more and more buyers, the agricultural industry is going to be forced to change, because the standards on how the working conditions are right now are gonna have to change too, and that is going to eliminate the possibility for slavery to exist.
Barry Estabrook, we have about a minute and a half left. We have a question on our website that asks, the slavery described by the guests suggests that organized crime is behind supplying and controlling the workers. Is that the case?
Gerardo might be better to answer that than I.
Okay.
Because he's close to the, you know, where it's happening.
Either way, Gerardo?
I mean, the slavery operations are they have some structure. There's coercion. There's threats of death, physical violence as examples. It's about control. And in every case, yeah, they organize themselves in order to keep people under cages of fear.
Okay, Gerardo, I know you have to go. That sound signals that you're supposed to do something, and I'm going to let you go and ask Barry Estabrook the final question, which is that Gourmet Magazine is not known for this kind of thing exactly. So, Cesar Chavez has been leading actions on behalf of farm workers or did for decades. Do you think the activists are reaching a broader audience now through Gourmet Magazine? How are your readers reacting?
Well, the reaction has been, first of all, huge, and second of all, one of gratitude for the most part, that we brought this to people's attention. I think that serious home cooks are now more and more interested in learning where their food comes from, who produced it, how was it produced, and this type of article feeds that, you know, supplies information that good cooks are looking for now.
Do you think our listeners should stop eating winter tomatoes?
No, I think we should do anything we can to encourage Florida's lawmakers and lawmakers everywhere to change the conditions so that then we can decide, you know, if we want to eat tomatoes or not on basis of taste or something. But I don't think you should stop doing anything. I think we could also support the people that have signed up to the coalition's Fair Food campaign. It's the fast food outlets that you mentioned, but also Whole Foods Supermarket has signed that agreement.
Barry Estabrook covers the politics of food as a contributing editor for Gourmet Magazine. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.